Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the second edition of Speedway Digest Show, the Speedy Digest. I'm Joseph Walken, along with my co-host, Brett Winningham. How are you today, Brett? Brett, how are you today? We'll have Brett on in a minute. But right now, we have a great show for you guys today. We have Tom Hassard from the ARCA Racing Series on our show, and it's going to be a great time. Brett, hi, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Man, it feels like we haven't spoken to each other in so long. We haven't done a podcast since we were together in Motor Racing Scene.
I know. It feels great to be here with you and ready to talk some racing.
Yeah, we have a great show today, I think. I mean, we have Tom Hassard on. We have Ryan O'Hara coming on. And it's going to be a real great show tonight, I think.
Yeah, I think
Now, we're going to have an interesting night tonight, I think. We're going to talk about the All-Star Race and the Showdown. We're going to talk some Nationwide Racing and the Truck Series. And when Ryan comes on, we're even going to talk about Kurt Busch running the Indianapolis 500. And that he's been making a lot of noise this week, Kurt Busch.
Yes, he really has. So, you know, it's going to be interesting when we can talk about that.
Yeah, now, tell me, how was it at the Kansas Speedway? I know you were there with the media access. How was your experience there? And I know you were telling me you saw Matt Crafton. You have an interesting story to tell everyone.
Yeah, you know, Kansas Speedway was an interesting weekend, you know, saw interesting stuff. You know, start with Thursday, you know, you had the truck series practice, which was delayed for a little bit because of rain, but they were able to finally get back in the way with the two practice sessions where NASCAR said, okay, we're going to run two Camel Truck Series pieces, 1 hour each with a 3 minute break in between, and then I kicked off the weekend. You know, I want to give a big shout out to the number 63 NASCAR Camel Truck Series team. Right at the beginning, probably about 15 minutes into a practice session, they spin the truck off turn four, crunch up the back end just a little bit, takes it to the garage, and I don't know how, but gets that thing repaired and gets back on track with about 10 minutes remaining. I mean, that was some pretty great work by that team, you know, and they didn't have a backup, and they were one of the underfunded teams, so you know, interesting there. And then moving on Friday, you know, that was also interesting. His interviews pretty much all day and, you know, until that start as Camel Truck Series full song, which I kind of had cut short because I had an interview, which that story will be out next week, hopefully. But, yeah, I had an interview and then after qualifying with Weber was the NASCAR Camel Truck Series drivers meeting. And following the meeting, NASCAR heads just said chapel service. It's like a 20-30 minute mini church service they have for all the drivers and stuff because they're always so busy. They can always do that, you know, on Sunday. So, you know, I stick around for that. Sat by Matt Crafton. And, you know, people don't understand, you know, they see the driver's side, you know, of the drivers. They don't see the family side. And that was pretty neat, seeing next to Matt Crafton, seeing him take care of their little daughter and all that stuff and sit next to his wife. You know, I couldn't tell that there was an Astro driver sitting next to me because, you know, it seemed like, you know, you go to an assembly at school or something, and the guy just sits next to you with you know, their daughter and his wife. It, you know, it was the NASCAR side of that So that was pretty neat, you know. I might do a write-up on that next week or something, but that was probably the coolest thing I've experienced all this weekend was that moment. And then I went outside of Term 3 and 4 and took some pictures of the, and then pretty much it was post-race, and then everyone just went home. And then on Saturday, went to the driver's meeting. I did not stay for chapel this time. I went and finished some things before the race started, and, you know, that was pretty interesting as well, going into the driver's meeting, and, you know, I was kind of hung out, and then I went out the entrance of pit road, take some pictures, I think right around lap 50 or 60, and then, you know, what's funny is, that one moment where Paul Witt and Dave Reagan spun, I was not paying attention like I should have been. I was turning around, kind of looking at sprint vision. Also, I see some cars spinning out of the corner of my eye, and I thought they were coming toward me, but they wasn't. But it's interesting how
at
that one
little
moment, you're not paying attention. So, but it was a fun weekend at Kansas. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, I wish I was going to Charlotte this weekend, but, you know.
You have NASCAR with Troll.
Just be at home. So, back to you, Jason.
Yeah, now tonight we're going to talk about some All-Star racing. Now, over the last few years of the All-Star race, it hasn't really been up to expectations that it used to be. It hasn't been as exciting. And I think this year NASCAR is taking that excitement back. And they're really getting the racing perfect now. You have 22 drivers that are going to be in the All-Star race. And I think what's different about NASCAR from any other sports All-Star event is that it's truly an All-Star event. You have only winners in this race. There's one fan vote, only one, and that's going to Danica Patrick, or it looks like Josh Wise, because of the Reddit.com community, and that's a whole story in of itself, which we'll get to in a little while. But right now, I want to talk about who do you think could, you're covering the Sprint Showdown tomorrow night for Speedway Digest.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think is going to be the favorite to win the race? You have Marcos Ambrose in the race. Danica Patrick is coming off of a good run. Austin Dillon, Clint Boyer, Ricky Stenhouse, Paul Menard, Kyle Larson, Eric Almirola, AJ Allmendinger. Any of these guys could win.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to go with the RCR guys of Austin Dillon and Paul Menard that's going to be up there. You know, you have Clint Boyer, but, you know, that team just has not been up there this year. And then you have Ricky Stenhouse Jr., who could possibly maybe come in and do it. But, you know, I just don't really see that team up there either. So, you know, I think those two drivers I mentioned are going to be up there, and I won't be surprised if those win. You know, Marcus Ambrose could be one of them as well. So it'll certainly be interesting.
Over the years, it's really come down to about, usually the front two drivers get a real giant gap on the rest of the field, and the showdown has not been as exciting as it used to be. I remember when I first started watching racing, that stuff was intense as it gets, just trying to get into the All-Star race, let alone when the All-Star race was racing. I remember Giant Wreck and Joe Nemechek and that Kevin Harvick were yelling back in the day. And I think NASCAR really needs something like that this weekend to get attention for the next 2/3 of the year. And I think you have that right now. You have a couple of little rivalries going on, so to speak. And there are a lot more competitive cars, and you're going to see that this weekend, I think, in the showdown. And I wouldn't keep my eye out on Eric Almirola. You saw him in person last weekend. He was very competitive and has been very competitive all year.
Yeah, Eric Almirola has. You know, he's one of those drivers that's been improving a lot since last year. So they're definitely going to be up there. and contending for a race win inside top five, and I thought he did a really good job in Kansas as well.
Yeah, I mean, that little RPM team, well, not so much little, but they've been coming on strong lately, and I think that just maybe, a win for in the Sprint Showdown will really do some good for this team. But then you have some other names in there like Clint Boyer and Ricky Stenhouse who are winless. You would think by now, after all the success they had in the Nationwide Series, Ricky Stenhouse would have a win in the Cup Series. But you also have to remember, Roush Fenway Racing as a whole has really struggled this year, and something is truly up with that organization, I think. They are not performing expectations. Yes, they have a Bristol win of Carl Edwards. This team is an organization that excels at the intermediate tracks. You aren't seeing that this year. And they just released their lead engineer, Chip Boland, this week. And that's not a good thing. Boland's been at the team since 1998, and he came along when Bob Osborne came along doing their engineering department. So you look at that, and you're just like, something's up with Roush Fenway Racing. And I'm going to be talking to Carl Edwards in a few weeks when I'm at Dover, but there's just something missing. And I'm not sure if it's the new aero package or what, but Roush Fenway Racing used to be a lot more consistent on these larger tracks.
I agree. You know, I think that team, you know, something is up over there, like as you mentioned. You know, they really need to get it figured out. You know, as we discussed, I'm sure you guys did last week about Edwards possibly leaving. You know, that's definitely going to be interesting right there. You know, they really do need to get something going if they want to be competitive. And I'm really kind of shocked that they're just not up there right now. So it'll definitely be interesting to monitor as the rest of the season goes on. And I was kind of shocked that they got rid of him, actually, because, you know, just given with how long they've been around with him, you know, it's just interesting that they would make a big move like that.
Now, there was a little news this week for some smaller teams. Josh Wise is going to have Dodgecoin on his car again. And then you have David Strummy running for Joe Falk's little team. But then something interesting came along. Blake Koch, who usually drives for TriStar Motorsports in the Nationwide Series, he mixes around between the number 10, number 54 cars. And he's star in parks sometimes. But he had a very impressive outing to end the year of RAB Racing last year at Homestead. Blake Koch's going to be the number 32 for Charlotte and for Dover. So that's going to be interesting to see how he does. And I think Blake Koch, even though he's going to be racing for another funded team, this guy really deserves a chance.
Oh, I agree totally. You know, Blake Koch is one of those drivers who really needs a strong chance. And, you know, he did really good last year in the season finale for Route Racing. So, you know, hopefully something comes along with him and he can find a ride for the rest of this year or possibly full-time next year. So, you know, I think Cook, you know, he's been driving for TriStar. He comes into the start, you know, he's one of those drivers who, you know, appreciate when they get an opportunity like this. And, you know, we both know, Joseph, that he's going to do everything he can to, you know, keep it good.
Yeah, and that's just how the business is now. This sport is so rough to get into. I couldn't imagine being a driver right now. Like, what? Even though we're not going to talk about the Nationwide Series yet, let me just make a mention to Ryan Gifford. Ryan Gifford is not the youngest of development drivers. He's 25 years old, which isn't necessarily old, but compared to some of these guys that are 18 and 19 years old, racing in the Nationwide Truck Series, he is a little bit behind, considering that he only has a handful of wins in the K&M Pro Series East. And Although, I mean, he's going to be running for Biagi Den Best Racing it for two races this weekend at Iowa, as well as another race. And he's very talented. He had a top 7 finish with RCR, but he doesn't have the funding to race for such a top team. And that's putting him behind the ladder, even though he's clearly talented as soon as he gets equipment that is capable of running up front.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting watching him in that number 9 car this weekend at Iowa. I think he's also in there, one of those drivers who really need a break and a good run. And, you know, it's certainly going to be interesting to follow that story as well.
Yeah, and that Biagi team is not bad at all. They have been contenders with Kevin Swindell, who's another driver, by the way, that did perform very well in limited Nationwide Series track time, and he's without a ride now, so it goes to show you. But then we also have some other drivers in the Cup Series racing this weekend. Let's talk about Parker Kligerman for a little bit. Parker Kligerman doesn't have a ride. He is working on some stuff, however, but it's not really anything that he's going to be racing competitively in the Cup Series, unfortunately. Excuse me. But right now, Parker Kligerman is going to be running laps in the 41 car, no matter what scenario happens with Kurt Busch in the Indianapolis 500, which we'll get to later, Brian O'Hara. There is nothing that's going to stop Parker Kligerman from running laps in this 41 car. They're going to put him in practice laps, and he's probably going to qualify this weekend, it looks like. And it goes to show you, even though you lose a job with a lower-class team, you can still bounce back to race for a higher-class team.
Oh, yeah, most certainly. You know, I think Parker Kligerman is one of the nicest drivers over in NASCAR and had a good career over in the ARCA Racing Series as well. You know, hopefully you can get something out of this and find some place to race for the rest of this year, whether that be in Trucks Nationwide or Sprint Cup. But yeah, he really needs a break. You know, he's a great driver and a great talent out there. You know, he just got caught up in some messes not of his doing this year and really hurt him in his racing career. So, you know, I mean, he really does need a break, and hopefully we see him back in the series in the NASCAR top 3 ranks later on.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really, it's part of the business, and most drivers understand that, but at the same time, they try planning out for the long term. And what Parker Kligerman did is, he went to this team hoping to run in the top 25, and he probably would have done that if he didn't get caught up in all these mechanical failures and all of that, which is part of the business, and unfortunately, he's without a ride, but Cole Whittle ended up landing with BK Racing, obviously. Now, let's start talking about the Sprint Cup All-Star Race. This is going to be a fantastic race, I think. Jimmy Johnson's coming off 2 back-to-back wins in the World Star Race. Carl Edwards won in 2011. Who is your pick to win this weekend?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I think I went with, who did I go with the other day? I don't remember. But, you know, this weekend's definitely going to be an interesting one. And, I know who I remember. I went with Brad Keselowski, but, you know, as I said, I think this weekend 4 drivers are going to shine. And that's going to be Brad Keselowski that I just picked to win. But then, you know, you also have Joey Logano. You have Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch. And there's another I might as well throw a winner as well, and that is Jeff Ford. You know, all those drivers are going to be fast this weekend. They're going to be up there battling for the race win. So, you know, similarly, it'll be interesting which driver goes victory lane. But, you know, if I had to pick, I would pick those 5.
Yeah, and you know what? That's the thing about the Spring Cup Series now. There's not a weekend where you can essentially pick who's going to win the race. You can pick who's going to run well, pick who's going to win, because you never know what happens in these races anymore, and they're very different from what they were last year. We haven't really seen drivers dominating races, leading over 200 laps in a 500-lap race. I mean, we've seen it a little bit this year, but those guys have not locked up the races. It's just like Jimmy Johnson a few weeks ago in Martinsville. He led nearly 150 laps, but guess what? No win. And I think that even though Charlotte has not been the kindest to Jimmy Johnson over the last few years, he's, besides the All-Star race, he's going to run well in the 600, I think. And I think he's going to have a shot to win it. But for this weekend's concern, I'm going with a different driver. I'm going with Kasey Kahne. How can you go against Kasey Kahne in Charlotte? He's won 20% of the races he's won in Charlotte, 4 out of 20 races. That's pretty darn impressive. And you also can't forget Kevin Harvick, obviously. Harvick was extremely fast at the test over the summer, and he was just really pacing everything. I'm sorry, not the summer, the winter. But he was pacing the field, and he was extremely fast in those simulation races.
Yeah, you know, I think Casey's going to be pretty interesting to follow the rest of the season. You know, he really needs to get a good run. You know, he finished third or second at Kansas this past weekend. So, you know, that's one driver who needs a good run, and, you know, it'll certainly be interesting watching him and how he gets around the racetrack this weekend in that number 5 car. But, you know, they really do need a race win this year. And, you know, I'm also predicting that team get a couple, you know, I'm sure before the season closes out.
Yeah, now you also have two Roush Fenway Racing cars in the race of Greg Biffle and Carl Edwards. Do you think this is going to be a weekend where they're just going to ride around trying different setups, trying to just learn some stuff, because this team has essentially struggled on intermediate tracks where they have excelled at in the past?
I don't think so. You know, they're going to be wanting a race win, and, you know, they're hungry for a good run. So, you know, I think, you know, with it being points race, they might try some stuff, but, you know, I think they're going to be all out trying for that bonus. So, you know, how that team does this weekend certainly is going to be fun to watch.
Now, you also have Dale Earnhardt Jr. in this race, and you have all the Hendrick Motorsports drivers as well, besides Earnhardt Jr. Do you think that Hendrick Motorsports, even though they have been on the climb as late, they've been getting better? Is there something they can do better to get more wins? Because right now, Jimmy Johnson and Kasey Kahne, they're winless.
I'm really shocked that Jimmy Johnson's still winless after 9 or 10 races this season. You know, I certainly would have thought Johnson would have had a race right now. But, yeah, I mean, that team over there really needs to get something figured out. I don't know why about that team that they are so lost or whatnot. But, I mean, they've led laps this year. They just haven't been there for that one lap that counted. So, you know, when they get their first win, I have no idea. But it's definitely something to keep an eye on because they really need to get it going.
Yeah, they just haven't been able to close the deal, that number 48 team. And they've been running extremely, extremely well. And I think it has to do with just the way the races have been playing out this year. They're a lot different than they have been.
Yeah, they have been, you know. I mean, you look at Kansas, which was, seemed like a crazy ending there. You know, I don't know much details about that or why it came down. All I know is that someone said Harvey came down pit road too slow on that last pit stop there. But, yeah, I mean, you know, that Kansas race, it seemed like, you know, how Jeff Gordon had the lead, I have no idea. But, whatever he did there at the end, he did it pretty well and, you know, captured that victory. But the races this year seem like they've been really better than last year. And, you know, whatever NASCAR did with the rules, you know, changes and stuff, you know, certainly hit on it. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to see how changes possibly they're looking at next year is going to do. But, you know, it's definitely interesting. And, you know, I think they've been off, but then they've been on their game. So, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting how Johnson and Kane's going to do and how this team as a whole is going to do as the season rolls to a close.
Okay, now in 5 minutes, we're going to have Tom Hetzert on the show. Let's talk some ARCA racing. Tom is coming off of a win at Talladega. It was a very impressive day for him and the whole Cunningham Motorsports team. They were extremely fast over the past few weeks. What do you think Tom Hetzert needs to do to contend for this championship?
Well, I think Tom Hetzert, you know, is one of the talented race car drivers over in the ARCA Racing Series. And, you know, Grant Enfinger has been on a tear the first three races. But, you know, as far as Tom Hetzert goes, you know, it's certainly going to be interesting how the ARCA Racing Series is going to play out. You know, every year it seems different. It's not the same. So I think that team over there, he's coming off. He had his second best season last year, I believe. So, you know, and he's on a good run this year. So it's definitely going to be interesting for Tom. But whatever he's doing, you know, he's been doing it well. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see how he goes. But, you know, he's certainly going to be one of the favorites to win it for this year, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, he definitely is. Now, he's the only other driver to stop Grant Enfinger's amazingly hot start this year. Can Enfinger be stopped at the non-restrictor plate tracks? He has 6 starts in the Cups in the Truck Series. He attempted to qualify for a Cup Series race, but that wasn't the ideal situation. It was for the Seneca Motorsports team. They weren't really prepared, and it was sort of a junky team, and they ended up dissolving rather quickly. Can Enfinger now come back and say, hey, I'm restarting my career, basically. I've won 5 races in the last 12 that I've run. Can I show you people that I'm capable of winning a championship?
Well, I think so. You know, he's doing it perfectly right now. You know, he has 3 wins, as you just mentioned, this year already, in 4 races. You know, he was fast at the small racetrack. So it's definitely going to be interesting. And the ARCA Racing Series, you know, that's like NASCAR. I think most of their racetracks are on short tracks, which is going to benefit him well. So, you know, he's going to be up there. He came in this season not having to ride for all the races, but then finally got that break. So, yeah, I mean, you know, he has a ton of momentum. You know, he might not have gotten a finish he wanted to at Talladega a couple weeks ago, but, you know, just with that announcement of running the full season, you know, that's going to give him less momentum. And he's definitely going to show it. And, you know, that's one car that is going to be fast this year. And, you know, they're going to do some good stuff the rest of, you know, it'll be fun to monitor.
Yeah, I mean, the ARCA Series is very competitive this year. Last weekend when you were at Kansas, Steven and I had Justin Boston on the show. And Justin is really geared up for this year. He's had a slow start. But that Venturini Motorsports team, now that they've added John West Townley, they have been very competitive as of late.
Yeah, they have, you know. And I think, you know, people make fun of them. But John West Townley is a really good race car driver, and you know, I think it helps the racing team to have a veteran driver who's run in many Nationwide Series and Truck Series races in the NASCAR rank to be a part of that team, and I think it's paying off. Whatever they're doing over there at Venturini, you know, they're doing it right. You know, they've been fast in qualifying. And I think that's a team that really focuses on qualifying more than in the races. You know, I think if they focus a little bit more on the race than just qualifying and practice, you know, I think they'd have many wins. But, you know, it's certainly going to be interesting how Benarini is going to be the rest of the year.
Yeah, now let's talk about Frank Kimmel a little bit. Frank has had a decent start to the season, but he's not racing to his expectations, essentially. He hasn't really been contending for those wins that we're used to seeing him. In fact, he's barely led any laps to begin the year, and he's only led one lap, and that's not Frank Kimmel-like. We all know Frank Kimmel is clearly capable of winning races, but it makes me wonder if he made the right switch to go to Wintron Racing after leaving ThorSport Motorsports when winning a championship. And he struggled at Salem and Mobile. He did not run well, but he ended up having top 10 finishes for both races.
You know, I think Frank Kimmel, you know, he sort of kind of comes and goes, you know. I mean, he was really hot when he came, or he was really hot when he started driving for ThorSport. But, you know, if you look at his seasons, you know, kind of before, you know, it's kind of up and down. You know, he had a great year in 2007 and 2008, but 2009 2010 was just not him, and then he comes in 2012 with a solid run, but not that great. And then 2013, he just had a really great year. You know, but one of the things in our racing series is that it seems like the talent kind of goes up and down. You know, you have some good years for some good drivers, and then some years where you don't have really a competitive field. And I think this year, you know, we're seeing a really competitive field. And so it might have something to do with it just a little bit. But, you know, did Frank Kimmel make the right move? I don't know. You know, I think they should have just stayed over at the first court where he was performing really well and shouldn't have moved. But, you know, I mean, with this FC, you know, it's early on in the year. You know, that team could still probably be, you know, trying to find the right balance in communication. So, you know, it'll certainly be interesting to monitor that.
I agree. I think it was a last-minute decision. And now on the hotline, we have Tom Hessert. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate you, us having you on the show. How
yeah, absolutely.
Been?
Pardon me?
How's everything? How's everything been with you so far this season? How would you evaluate your season so far?
Well, you know, absolutely so far so good. You know, we got off to a good start at Daytona, and then kind of a little bit of an up-and-down day there at Mobile, but came away with top 10. Thought we should have been top 5 at the end the way we were running, but not really the way it worked out. And then Salem was decent, and Talladega obviously ended up really well for us, being able to get the win. So, you know, so far we're off to a pretty solid start. We just got to, you know, get better in a few areas and make up a little bit of ground on the leader.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have been very consistent, probably the second most consistent team this year to Grant Anfinger. What do you need to do to contend for this championship and win more races?
Well, you know, we've been, it's funny, you know, in years past, we've always been kind of a team that's better on the long runs. And, you know, so it's played out better for us later in a race if we get a long run. And this year's kind of been the opposite for us. You know, we've had some short run speed and have been qualifying pretty well, but we've been lacking pace late in the runs, you know, especially on the short tracks at Mobile and Salem, which is, you know, like I said, really the opposite of our normal, you know, deal. But so we've really got to get, you know, the cars driving better late in the run. And we spent, a day up at Toledo on Monday working on that, and I think we found some stuff there, and that's really going to be part of it. You know, we have some good tracks coming up and certainly some challenging ones also for us. But, you know, I think we'll be in good shape to contend, you know, over the next few races for sure.
Now, I've heard that you guys haven't had, you don't have full sponsorship for this season. Have you guys been able to obtain funding to race the full year?
It's not all worked out yet. I mean, I think it's definitely headed in a positive direction. Fortunately, we've been able to keep going to this point. I think, things will hopefully work out in our favor to where we'll be able to run the whole deal with Cunningham in the 77 car. Just don't have it all worked out yet. And, but I think with, a couple good runs under our belt, we'll be able to make it work out.
Right. What do you have to say?
Are you talking over me? Tom, I just want to ask you, a couple weeks ago we did the Arca Group qualifying. What was your thoughts on that?
I'm sorry. I couldn't quite hear you there. A couple weeks ago we did what?
You did the new Arca Group qualifying format. Can you just talk about your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it was cool. I think it definitely needs some tweaks here or there. But it's a more efficient way for us to qualify for sure as far as time-wise. And, that's part of the ARCA schedule is, when we're tied in there with some of the Cup guys or the Nationwide guys like we did at Talladega. I don't know if everyone agrees with me, but I'd like to see some larger groups, at Talladega or Daytona. Maybe, get a bigger pack, get a little more speed going, and make it not so... only one or two guys get a really good lap because that's really how it worked out at Talladega. I thought we had a really good car for qualifying, but it just didn't play out that way. But that's the way it goes, and that's part of restrictor plate racing and qualifying in general. I don't think you're going to see that group qualifying format at a Michigan or a Chicago or something like that. Certainly we'll do it on the road course, in a couple weeks in New Jersey, but that's a totally different deal.
And, with the driver who won the first three races of the season, can you just talk a little bit about what it meant to you as a driver and your confidence to beat a driver who won the first three races and start off the season so dominant?
Well, certainly Grant had an excellent start to the year, one of those first three races, and Grant and I have been good friends for a long time, so happy to see him have that success. But, I didn't look at it. I certainly did. I don't know if anybody else did, just trying to knock Grant off because it's not like I certainly didn't think he was going to go out there and win every race this year. So, it's just as soon be us that, win the next one. So, it was, he certainly had a really strong start to the year. And, if anybody had to win the fourth race of the year, I'm glad it was us. And on a big stage like Talladega made it even better.
And I noticed by looking on Racing Reference earlier, you haven't won a pole since 2011. And, I think we see it over in the NASCAR series where, we see it with Kevin Harvick last year, who didn't win a pole since, I think, 2007, but then won at Kansas. Are guys now just kind of focusing, slowing out qualifying and just going towards the race setup more than worrying about, getting a fast time?
Well, I think some racetracks qualifying is more important than others. The Sprint Cup Series is very different than the ARCA Series in that they can make a lot of changes after qualifying. But the ARCA Series, you really got to focus on your race package because once you get done those two laps of qualifying, you can't really do much to your car except for a little bit of wedge, some air pressure, tape, and the track bar. So, it sounds like a good bit of things, but realistically, it's not a ton of adjustments that you can do to your race car. So, we always try to focus on qualifying, and, you can certainly walk down a garage and ask my team. They give me plenty of hard time about our qualifying spots, and we have a good laugh at the fact that we haven't had a pole in quite a long time. But, hopefully we get one soon. Toledo, this weekend is a good track for us. It's, the place we had our last pole. So, maybe we'll have a shot at it. Who knows?
All right, I'm going to throw it back over to Joseph.
Now, Tom, you've had a lot of success in the ARCA Series over the past few years. What's prevented you from making your way up through the NASCAR ranks? You have two starts in the Truck Series, but other than that, you haven't really been able to make the jump.
No, you're right. You know, we've just been racing the ARCA for you know, quite a few years now and had some success, like you said. I've had some opportunities to go race a truck or a nationwide car. It hasn't really been something that I thought would really progress my career too much or, you know, something that I could go and be competitive in. So I've just been very happy and fortunate to be able to race an ARCA for all these years. And, you know, I'd rather run up front and be competitive in the ARCA series than, you know, non-competitive in another series. So, you know, if that opportunity comes up, you know, one of these days where I can get in one of those more competitive race cars on the other side of the garage, I'll certainly jump at that. But, you know, right now I'm very happy and pleased and excited to be a part of ARCA Racing Series.
Would you be content with not making it through the top ranks in NASCAR, staying in the ARCA Series for the duration of your career?
Well, you know, it just depends how things work out. You know, I think anybody that's at any level of racing wants to make it to the top. And I'd certainly love to do that and you know, see that as a goal. But, you know, is that going to happen? I don't know. So, you know, I'm at a point in my career that I'm, you know, very happy with where I am. Like running up front in ARCA, like, you know, being in contention for wins every week. And but, you know, to say that there wouldn't be some void later on in my life or career, I don't know. But right now, you know, I like where I am. Comfortable with it, confident, and that's the place I like to be.
Cunningham Motorsports has been known to help out some of the development drivers from Team Penske over the past few years, and this year you guys have some other young drivers. You've been able to work with some of these young guys since you moved over from Ken Schrader Racing. What have you been teaching some of those younger guys?
Well, I mean, most of the guys, they don't need a lot of teaching for me, but, you know, Anderson Bowen, Austin Wayne Self, Tyler Reddick, Ryan Blaney ran some races. So a lot of these guys are very, very accomplished race car drivers. They just, you know, are a few years younger than me. So, you know, I wouldn't say that I have, a ton more laps overall than them. You know, races in ARCA, I certainly do. But all these guys have, you know, tons of late model races, you know, truck races, you know, all kinds of stuff. So, you know, these are all very good race car drivers. You know, the only thing, you know, if someone comes to me for some advice, maybe some nuance about a racetrack, I'm always very open to try to help them. You know, and the important thing for a lot of these young guys is just getting to the end of a race. And that's the first thing I learned, you know, had to learn when I came from, you know, open wheel style racing, 30 lap features, 25 lap features, where you just go as hard as you can until they throw the checkered. In a stock car race, it's more strategy. You gotta keep your fenders on the thing and be there at the end. And that's the biggest difference in these longer races from, you know, some of the races some of the younger guys have been used to doing.
Now, you've been racing for a while in the ARCA series and in general, really, since you were as a kid. Who's been the most influential person in your life to this point?
Well, you know, my dad was an accomplished sports car endurance racer, and, you know, that's really how I got interested in the sport and grew up going to his races, and he's been a large part of my career. You know, comes to, you know, 99% of the races and is always very supportive and always great to have him at the racetrack. So he's been a large part of it and met some other great people along the way in the sport who have helped out and, you know, in some mentorship, friendship roles, and, you know, those are always very special relationships to have also.
Now, you've had a lot of races, and you've won your fair share as well. What's been the most defining part of your young career?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. I don't know. You know, the wins are always great. You know, the first one was great. You know, at Iowa was an awesome night back in 2010. We had just a dominant race car. Everything worked out perfectly. But, you know, some of the races you don't win are really special, too, because, you know, or maybe they're the ones you think about the most, really, because, you know, maybe you lead a bunch of laps and end up, you know, something happens at the end of the thing. But most defining moment, I don't know if I have that, you know, real defining thing. You know, Talladega was certainly a big win. I really like the wins at Salem that we had. The back-to-back at Salem was very cool, just because Salem is such a hard racetrack to win at, such a historic place, really difficult track, and, you know, being a, you know, fan of the sport, you know, really into the history of it, that was very cool. But, you know, I'd like to think that my defining moment hasn't happened yet, but who knows? We'll find out years from now.
What tracks are you looking forward to visiting over the next few weeks? You guys have some good tracks like Pocono and all these other tracks that you guys have had some success at, but you also have some tracks coming up that you haven't had success at, such as Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan's definitely one on the schedule that we've really had a heck of a time at. But, you know, Pocono is really cool. You know, normally a place where we're in contention for a top five, if not better. You know, New Jersey's always cool. It's my home track. We seem to run really well there on the road course and, you know, normally have a shot at it. Although Rangers had the better hand of us the last few years, maybe we got something for them this year. And, you know, Michigan's tough. Michigan's a place that, you know, it's no secret to anybody. It hasn't been my best place. I don't think we've finished, I don't know, maybe we finished one or two races there. Normally we something happens, we blow a tire, you know, crash, who the hell knows. But, you know, it is a place I look forward to because it's a challenge for me. But, you know, I think that our intermediate program got better last year. I got better at it towards the end of the year, and it's a place that definitely I put a lot of emphasis on, you know, what I can do inside the car to make myself better. So that's, you know, that's one of the places, although it hasn't historically been a good track for me, I am really looking forward to going back there.
All right. Thank you so much, Tom. I really appreciate it. Wish you the best of luck throughout the rest of the season. Hopefully we'll have you on once again.
Well, absolutely, guys. It was a pleasure being on the show. Really appreciate it. And like I said, you know, hopefully we get you something to talk about, and we'll be on the show, you know, here soon again.
Yeah, I'll come stop by at Pocono. I'll be at Pocono, so I'll come see you. I'll talk to you. We'll have an interview.
All right, that'll be fun. Hopefully we're in the good garage stall.
Well, have a good evening, Tom.
All right, thanks, guys. You have a good one.
That was Tom Husser from Cunningham Motorsports and ARCA Series. Brett, you know about Tom a lot. How do you think it is for a driver, sort of not so much getting stuck racing in ARCA Series for your entire career, but not being able to advance because you get offers from teams, but you don't get them from higher teams?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's certainly interesting. We see it in the Campbell Truck Series too, you know, where, you know, Matt Crafton said that he had some offers to move up to Nationwide or the Spring Cup Series, but they weren't up to, you know, what he wanted, so he just said that I'll just stay down here in the Truck Series and race. And we see it, you know, in the Racing Series a lot too. You know, another driver that is the case, which we all know him, is Frank Campbell, you know, made 7 Spring Cup Series start, 1 Nationwide Series start, and made 14 starts in Ken World Truck Series, but, you know, just didn't move up. So, you know, once again, he stays in ARCA Racing Series, where he's been driving for 25 years consecutively. So, you know, for Tom, you know, I think that's just something that a driver needs to do until they get the right opportunity that they want, you know, and it's certainly interesting, but, you know, if I was a driver, you know, I don't blame them. You know, if I had a good ride in ARCA Racing Series and was competitive, you know, I was offered a ride in a Nationwide Series, but something where, you know, I'm not going to run very well, then, you know, I'd want to stay in ARCA Racing Series until I get a little bit better ride. And you know, you look at Tom Husser, Grant Anfinger, and Frank Campbell. You know, they deserve good quality rides. They don't deserve something where, you know, they're going to finish 30th or worse, you know, like that. You know, they deserve a good ride. And, you know, the decision that Tom has certain, and all the other drivers I mentioned, you know, it's been pretty good. So, you know, I think they made the right decision.
Yeah, I mean, just thinking about it, you're better off going and contend for win races rather than running in 20th place in the Truck Series. One, you're going to get more exposure for your company, because the ARCA Series is also going to go on NBC Sports Network, possibly CBS. They have a lot of stuff going on for them in the ARCA Series. They even have a deal with Fox Sports 1, too. And that's another reason why Fox Sports 1 is good. They have that additional exposure for the teams, and that's something that's going to help all these lower series in the future. Now, let's shift gears a little bit, and we're going to go talk about the NASCAR Nationwide Series. The Nationwide Series is at the Iowa Speedway this weekend. However, only two drivers that have won races in Iowa are in this race. Well, actually, four if you want to count Ryan Blaney and James Buescher as well. But right now, only two in the Nationwide Series, Elliott Sadler and Trevor Bayne. Can one of those two drivers win without the Cup drivers in here?
You know, it's definitely going to be an interesting weekend. You know, I mean, you got lots of talent on here. You know, you have Ty Dillon, you know, as you said, Bayne. But then there's another driver on here that is going to be strong this weekend just for the fact that he has tons of experience here in the NASCAR Can-Am Pro Series, and that's Chase Elliott. You know, he's going to be fast. But, you know, you also go down three entry lists. You have Chase the Stone, who's making his Nationwide Series debut here this weekend. And there's some other drivers on here as well that's going to run really well. But, you know, I think it's certainly going to be interesting, and it's going to be fun to monitor, and it's definitely going to be a fun race. You know, usually when we don't have any Cup Series drivers in Nationwide Series, it turns out to be a good race. So, you know, it's anyone's game as far as that point between those drivers I talked about. So, and it's also going to be interesting if Brian Scott can get that elusive race win that he's been looking for and that always felt up short from him. So, you know, I think, as of right now, it's a wide open field, and pretty much almost anyone in a dominant car can win.
Yeah, you know what? I actually have here an interesting statistic for you. When Brad Keselowski, Kyle Busch, any of these guys are in the Nationwide Series race at Iowa, guess what? The average speed is actually approximately 7 to 10 miles an hour quicker than it is when the non-Cup Series drivers are in the race. And I think that's very fascinating. And not only that, there are more lead changes as well. And I think you're going to see a lot of lead changes this weekend. You're going to see Brian Scott challenging for a victory this weekend, Ty Dillon, Elliott Sadler, Regan Smith, Trevor Bayne, Ryan Blaney. You're going to have Dylan Kwasniewski if he could stay out of trouble. But there are two guys I'm looking at right now. They're sort of underdogs, so to speak. Brendan Gaughan, who has struggled a little bit to start off the year, and James Buescher, who also has struggled. I think this weekend, after having a nice off week to get regroup and get everything back together, James Buescher and Brendan Gaughan really have a shot at winning this race.
Well, I think so. You know, I mean, it's going to be an interesting race this weekend as far as who's going to win it, and definitely tune in on Sunday at 2 p.m. to see that.
See that, guys? He even has the time. Does it get better than Brett? I mean, this guy has all his secret programs. He's unbelievable. You also have Sam Lawrence Jr. in the race this weekend. Sam is making his second consecutive start in the Nationwide Series for Joe Gibbs Racing. Obviously, he hasn't been in the car much this year. He did suffer Denny Hamlin at the Iowa Cup Speedway in the Cup Series, his first race since Homestead in the Nationwide Series race last year. Can Sam Morris Jr. come from barely racing this year to contending for a win this weekend?
Oh, I think so. You know, I mean, you can't count out Sam. You know, he's been strong here in the past, just fell short. So, you know, I think he's definitely going to be a threat to win on Sunday, and I won't be surprised if he's up there winning laps.
Yeah, exactly. Same here. I think that he's going to be very competitive, and then he's driving the number 54 car, which is extremely competitive, as we all know. But he also has two teammates in this race. Michael McDowell is racing the number 20 car for the first time this year, Pizza Ranch is a sponsor. And when I interviewed McDowell earlier in the year, he spoke to me and he was like, listen, I know I'll race for a top-tier team in the Cup Series, but when I get the opportunity to race for Joe Gibbs Racing, I want to make the best of it. And he clearly didn't do that when he got the one Cup Series start, filling in for Kyle Busch when he got in that whole scandalous incident with Ron Hornaday Jr. in Texas. But he did race, and he raced a full event, and he's been able to do that this year with Levine Family Racing. Will running full races, running part-time, though, help Michael McDowell this weekend contend for a race win?
You know, it's certainly going to be an interesting question. You know, Michael McDowell seems like he does really well, you know, in these type of races, and I believe he nearly won Iowa before with that racing team. So, you know, it's certainly going to be interesting how Michael's going to go about this weekend. But, you know, as I said, I can't remember there was another driver I mentioned this, but I really see Michael with that driver and always out there making the most of these opportunities. And, you know, it's certainly going to be interesting as well to see how Michael's going to do at Iowa, where he's had success at in the past.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now, and McDowell hasn't won in the Nationwide Series before, but he does have a couple of runner-up finishes, and he has contended for the win at Iowa a few times, especially when he gets in that Joe Gibbs Racing car. We all know how good Joe Gibbs Racing is in the Nationwide Series, and he's able to prove that he's capable of running up front in top-tier equipment, and that goes back to what Tom Hester said. If you get a chance to run top-tier equipment, it doesn't matter what division you're in, as long as you're running up front. And you look at Michael McDowell's stats in Iowa, he's led 36 laps, and he hasn't really done that bad. Even when he was driving for McDowell Motorsports, his worst finish at Iowa has been 13th, and that was back in 2010. He even had a good run with Whitney Motorsports, driving a 26 car, where he finished 8th. I honestly don't think that McDowell people don't give him as much credit as he deserves, especially when he races in the Nationwide Series.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, McDowell's definitely going to be one of the drivers that's going to be fun watching this weekend as he wheels that car around.
Yeah, now we have Chase Elliott going for his third win of the year. He just graduated high school this week, and I really think this kid is the real deal, if not possibly the next Jeff Gordon, if I might say so. And I just think that this kid, not only does he have the character on the track, but he has the perfect attitude off the track. He knows how to level. He leveled out his education with his high school perfectly, like at the perfect point. And now he gets to focus only on racing for probably the rest of his life, unless for some reason he doesn't make it and decides to go to college and then get another job. But right now, for the foreseeable future, Chase Elliott is going to be a Hendrick Motorsports driver. He's going to be in the Cup Series. And right now, he's racing in the Nationwide Series for this year and next. He's not worried about going to the Cup Series. Could an 18-year-old win the championship?
Oh, man, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting following Chase Elliott. You know, he's been on fire here lately in the Nationwide Series. And, you know, I think he's going to be one of the guys you have to watch here this weekend. And I'm not surprised, as you said, yeah, he's going to be going for Hendrick Motorsports in the future sometime in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. I mean, this is a real deal, and, you know, there's going to be no stopping him. I mean, it's going to be someday, and it's definitely going to be interesting to watch, and, you know, certainly a pleasure to be, you know, writing about him and following his career up through the ranks. So, you know, he's the real deal. So, I mean, he's definitely going to be up there, and he's going to be fun watching this weekend and the rest of the season if he's going to be able to contend for that championship. You know, some bad luck struck him this week or last week at Talladega, but, you know, he's definitely putting that behind him and he's focused for Iowa where he's had success at the Canyon Pro Series. So, you know, he's going to be fast this weekend.
Yeah, now, even though that there are some other guys out there that are Chase Elliott's age, such as Dylan Kwasniewski, Ryan Blaney, Darrell Wallace Jr. in the Truck Series, Chase Elliott has by far excelled expectations right now at 18 years old, just finishing high school. Is he going to be, I don't know if he's going to be able to keep this up. Right now you have Austin Theriault in the five car this weekend making his debut for JR Motorsports. And you also have Regan Smith in the number seven car as per usual. Smith was sort of in the same situation as he was in last year, except he's not leading the points right now. But he is rather high up in points. And it makes you wonder, is JR Motorsports going to have that same collapse that they had last year where they had an extremely hot start, Regan Smith was leading the points, and it all of a sudden, kaboom, they just started becoming extremely inconsistent, and they weren't able to contend for race wins, and it cost them the championship.
Well, I mean, you know, you can look at, you know, different ways, you know. I think this year, though, JR Motorsports is nailing it, and whatever they're doing, they need to keep on doing it. And, you know, as we saw last year for Ian Smith, dominant in the first part, but, you know, was just off in the second part. You know, it's going to be an interesting question if that's going to be the case this year. You know, we'll have to wait and see how the season goes on, you know. I mean, we're really early in it still, but, you know, I don't know. You know, it'll be interesting monitoring that situation over there. And, you know, I don't know. We'll just have to see what happens.
Now, there are a few different names in the Nationwide Series this weekend. Let's talk about some of them. Ryan Ellis, he was originally scheduled to drive for Rick Ware Racing. He told me this week, He's going to be racing for Rick Ware Racing for the majority of the rest of the year. But SR2 Motorsports, gone. Phone calls that I made to SR2 Motorsports, not picked up. Their PR person spoke to me. They're not going to be racing, it appears. They're already letting go of employees. And it makes you wonder, why are these smaller teams that clearly don't have the experience to run up front are expanding the two teams? You saw that with Swan Racing this year, and now you're seeing that for SR2 Motorsports was basically the Swan Racing of the Nationwide Series. They were running towards the back half of the pack with Toyotas, and they just weren't doing anything whatsoever with limited funding.
Yeah, I have no idea. You know, I don't understand why Swan Racing expanded two cars, let alone on the YSR2 did that same thing. I mean, you know, you would think that if you know, they were struggling like that, that they would just run one car and they should have just kept their one car operation and expanding it to two. And, you know, I'm calling it right now. You know, I did an article earlier this year. But I'm calling it now that BK Racing is going to be the next team to go under because they're running so many freaking cars that, you know, that, you know, I mean, these teams just expand, you know, they think they can go out there and blow up the world, but, you know, they just don't. And, you know, it's sad to see, you know, I hate seeing it, but, you know, I mean, some of these teams, why they do that, I have no idea.
Yeah, and you know what? TriStar Motorsports in the Nationwide Series was about to go down that road. But this year, they have David Starr racing the 44. They have Jeff Green going to be running for Eric McClure in a few races. They have Hal Martin making his debut of the season this weekend. He ran for the team a lot last year. He's going to make be making his debut. They've had David Starr bring sponsorship in the car and run extremely well, and they're doing the right thing. They have Mike Bliss in the 19 car still. He's the team leader. He gets the most out of that little equipment, and that's what you need. You can't hire these young drivers. Clearly, Eric McClure is never going to excel because he's already getting older. He wants to retire at the end of the year, and unfortunately, Hefty Reynolds will also go with him, which takes away another NASCAR sponsorship, unfortunately, and that was bringing a good $1 million to that organization, helping them field another car. But guess what? They might be better off without that car. They might be better off having Jeff Green and all these other guys racing that car if they could get sponsorship to do so.
Well, absolutely. You know, TriStar Motorsports has been one of those teams. Yeah, they have a lot of drivers, it seems like, but you know, I mean, they make it work, and I think that team, you know, they have what it takes, but, you know, they just run too many cars, and, you know, I mean, they're making it work, and whatever they're doing, I applaud them for. You know, Eric McClure, unfortunately, is one of those drivers who I think would do really well in top equipment, but just never had the chance or the opportunity to show everyone what he has. And, you know, I mean, as you said, you know, I also saw the reports where he's possibly looking at retiring, and if Hefty Reynolds stays with that team or they'll leave, you know, certainly an interesting question. So, you know, it'll be interesting to monitor as season winds down as well. But, you know, I think, you know, that racing team is doing pretty good, and, you know, for what could have happened to them. So, you know, I mean, they definitely, you know, are one of those top underfunded teams, I guess you could call it. And, you know, they're running pretty good here lately. So, I mean, whatever, they're doing just fine.
Now, you also have a driver switch for the Motorsports Group in the number 40 car. Josh Wise is in Charlotte, as we said, running for the Reddit car this weekend for Phil Parsons Racing as per usual. Since he has such a good chance right now in making the race on the fan vote, the team opted to run the showdown instead of skipping it like they have in years past. Matt DiBenedetto is going to be running that number 40 car. Matt is a former Joe Gibbs Racing driver. He was a development driver for the organization and did rather well with that team. He was able to score a couple of top 10 finishes, two to be exact. And ever since, though, he's been stuck with some lower-class teams, and he's been starting and parking all year. But for a start and park car right now, Matt DiBenedetto has qualified 24th or better in 4 races this year. That's pretty impressive. He even started 16th at Bristol, and we all know how hard it is to get around Bristol, especially in underfunded equipment like this team. Let's face it, that's very impressive. He was able to qualify 24th at Richmond, 22nd at Fontana, and 23rd at Talladega. This kid has what it takes. If he can prove that he could drive in the top 20 this weekend with an underfunded organization that Josh Wise has been driving for, could we see Matt DiBenedetto run more races besides the companion races?
Well, you know, Matt DiBenedetto is one of those drivers that I kind of look at just like Michael McDowell. You know, both drivers came up a race in the Nationwide Series for Joe Gibbs Racing. It was actually pretty good. So, you know, Matt needs a break. He needs, you know, be in top equipment. And I think if you put him in there, I think he could be just fine. And, you know, certainly going to be interesting where he's going to end up possibly later on. You know, hopefully he finds a great ride over there, and should be interesting to see how well he would do in top equipment again, and, you know, he just seemed to break.
Yeah, and that 40-car team, even though they haven't been the greatest this year, they have been on somewhat of a roll this the past few weeks at the regular tracks, not the restrictor plate tracks. Wise has finished 21st in Texas, 15th at Darlington, which is very impressive considering their resources. And he finished in the top 25 at Richmond as well, and that would have had a better finish at Talladega, but his engine blew. So it goes to show you, hard work does pay off for these little teams. Now, we're going to get to our predictions in a minute, but I want to talk about something else. There are a couple other young guys racing this weekend. As you mentioned, Chase Bastoni in the 31 car that Dylan Kwasniewski usually drives. But Dylan Kwasniewski is going to run the 42 car when Kyle Larson isn't racing. That's a little plot twist. And he's going to be working with a different crew chief. You can't mess around with a young driver and their crew chief. He was already telling me a few weeks ago how he was having trouble communicating with his crew chief, trying to give him the proper response after races. How is this going to affect that number 42 team and the number 31 team?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, and why they're throwing around, I don't know. You know, they should keep it the same and not worry about that. But, you know, it's definitely going to hurt them. And, you know, why they're switching, I have no idea. But, you know, they should just keep it the same.
Yeah. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to have Ryan O'Hara, who also writes for SS Speedway Digest, on the line. But I want to talk about Brian Scott, Ty Dillon right now. Those RCR cars have not been up so far this year. What do you think is preventing those, all of RCR really, in the Cup Series and the Nationwide Series, from contending for race wins? Is the team too large?
And, you know, I mean, I look at it, you know, similar way as I do, you know, Stuart Haas racing with the four cars. You know, RCR cut down three cars for the last couple years, and then they went back to four. You know, I think they're in that process of just trying to figure it out and figure things out and try and get the right chemistry down. They'll hit on it later on, and, you know, I won't be surprised if that team gets two or three wins later on down the road this year once we get that figured out. So, you know, it'll certainly be interesting to follow.
Now, coming off of this win at Talladega, Elliott Sadler has a lot of momentum, especially since they had an off week. Could Elliott Sadler go back to victory lane this weekend, winning back-to-back races? It has been a trend that we are starting to see in the Nationwide Series now, where Nationwide Series-only drivers are winning back-to-back races. Just look at Chase Elliott this year so far.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. You know, I think, you know, if they can do it, I don't know, you know, but I think they could. It'll certainly be interesting to watch as the season goes forward.
Now, there are rumors going around that Carl Edwards is going to be driving a fourth Joe Gibbs Racing car in the Cup Series. What would that do, essentially, say if he does go to Joe Gibbs Racing, what would that do to the chances of Elliott Sadler returning, or some of these younger drivers like Drew Herring and Michael McDowell, for example? What would their chances be of getting to run some Nationwide Series races with the addition of Carl Edwards joining that organization?
That's an interesting question. You know, in the press conference this past weekend at Kansas, he didn't want to talk about his contract. And, you know, I respect him for that. So, you know, it'll certainly be interesting. But, you know, I heard that there was an interview or something where he said that this year has to be a championship year or, you know, he's going to possibly look at other places. So, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting. And that team, you know, as we discussed earlier, is just off this year. So, you know, they really need to do something. And, you know, I think, you know, Edwards is getting tired of it like Matt Kenseth did and Lab, you know, and I think when Edwards looks at Kenseth's success last year, you know, he says, you know, that could have been me or whatnot. So, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting. And, you know, if Edwards leaves Roush, you know, I don't blame him, you know. That team just isn't hitting the cylinders this year for whatever reason. So, and you know, it's also going to kill chances of Elliott Sadler and those other drivers probably coming out filming that fourth car. But, you know, I think, you know, it'll certainly be interesting how Edwards does, if he does go Gilgamesh Racing. You know, I really don't see any other team Carl to go to because, you know, all the others are filled up.
Now, who's your pick to win this weekend? Like I said before, Sadler and Bain have won before Iowa, but this year has been a little different in the Nationwide Series. You're seeing more of the Chevrolets running up front, but you also have guys like Ryan Blaney, McDowell, and you have all these other guys that really need to make a name for themselves. Could someone shock the NASCAR world once again and come out with a win? You have Ryan Reed, who might just happen to capitalize on this weekend. He struggled over the last few races, but now he might have a shot at coming out with a decent finish. And you also have Chris Buescher coming off a runner-up finish. This kid is the real deal. And I think that now that he has some more experience, he's not wrecking cars like he did at first. I think Chris Buescher might be contending for this win as well.
I think this weekend my pick to win is going to be Chase Elliott, just given the fact that how well he's ran on these style racetracks in the past. And that's who I really think who's going to be up front all night long or all day long.
I think that's a very respectable pick. Even though he hasn't really done exceptionally well at Iowa, I mean, he has in the past. He does have experience at Iowa in the K&N series. And he's been a very good driver over the past few races. But you have to remember, he's coming off of a rough Talladega race. It killed his confidence. But at the same time, he actually... killing your confidence in the Nationwide Series can actually help you because it gives you more of a drive, so to speak. It helps you want to win more. And he's won at Iowa before in the K&N Series, but during that time he only led 10 laps. Other than that, the other two races he ran in Iowa in the K&N Pro Series East, he did struggle a little bit, but not a lot. Obviously, this year is extremely different. He's in larger cars now, more powerful, and I think he will contend for the win for sure. But I'm going to go with someone different. I'm going with Trevor Bayne. I think it's Bayne's weekend. He's been struggling a lot this year. I think it's time for him to turn the corner and get a victory.
Not a bad pick. You know, I think Bayne is definitely going to be interesting. You know, he's won here in the past, as you said, so... You know, he's definitely going to be really fast, and that team's going to be interesting to follow as well as they go around the Iowa Speedway.
Now, let's shift gears again. We're going to go to the Camping World Truck Series. There aren't too many entries on the list this weekend, Brett. What's going on with the Truck Series? Only 32 trucks are showing up.
Well, you know, I think partly, and we discussed this in a text message conversation, I think, a couple nights ago. No, I don't know what's going on. You know, it's certainly an interesting question, but, you know, I think what it is that NASCAR came in this, or I think last season, and they said that, you know, I think what is hurting that series is, you know, last year they made announcement that 16-year-olds could run on tracks 1.1 mile or less, or they could run the road courses. And I think that probably is the reason why that's hurting them. You know, we saw a fantastic group of drivers at Martinsville, and, you know, and then, you know, for whatever reason, Kansas, and then this weekend, I don't know what it is, but, you know, but to look at it positively, you know, it's not so much about the field size, it's not about quantity, but, you know, the quality of racing. You know, I don't even think we saw any starting parts at Kansas, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, with that, you know, it's quality, but, you know, you do kind of wish to see, you know, 37, 38 show up just so you could, you know, have a fun qualifying session and following who's out, who's in and such. But, you know, it's probably not a bad thing after all.
Now, this weekend, there are 32 entries, and there are about 20 different trucks out there. They're going to be competitive. Two of them are Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski. Brad Keselowski has yet to win a Truck Series race. Will he be able to pull it off this weekend? He did test in Charlotte a few weeks ago, a good portion of the field, actually. Do you think Brad Keselowski's finally going to get that first win?
You know, it's shockingly how Keselowski has championships in the Nationwide Series and a championship in Sprint Cup Series, but has never won a Truck Series race. So, you know, that's certainly an interesting deal right there. Can he get it done this weekend? You know, he has a shot. You know, he's come close, I believe, here at Charlotte many times, but just fell short. So, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting following him this weekend and if he could get that first win.
Yeah, Thor Sport Racing trucks have been very great. Competitive to begin the year, but Johnny Sauter hasn't really turned it on yet, so to speak, and Jeff Burden did struggle in Martinsville, but had a good showing at Kansas. Could Jeff Burden come out this win this weekend, considering that he's going to be racing full-time from what it seems like?
Yeah, you know, Jeff Burden is one of the drivers who, you know, had a really fantastic rookie of the year season last year, and unfortunately his sponsor had to leave just at the beginning of the season, which he had to make a deal at the last minute. But, you know, I think Jeff Burton is one of the drivers who really means a good quality ride. You know, I just think with the situation, with all the better teams filled up, you know, and with his situation at the last minute, it really hurt him. So, you know, it's definitely going to be an interesting year for him. You know, can he get a win? I don't know. You know, that team's kind of a development deal, you know, at Thor Sport has. But, you know, I think it's going to be decent. You know, hopefully he gets that full-time ride, you know, he's looking for. You know, I don't know what status is on that. That team is going to make an announcement this week, but yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting deal for him, and yeah, it should be interesting.
Now, also racing this weekend is Weston Dillon. He's making the second straight start for NTS Motorsports, and he's been helping out some of the younger guys on this team, like Greg Laudley and Brendan Newberry. They'll have a different teammate this weekend. Justin Lofton, who won this race a few years ago. Justin Lofton, what happened with him basically was he was racing for an organization that it was coming alive. And then all of a sudden, as it was coming alive, he lost his sponsorship. After that, he was racing part-time. He went to Robbie Gordon's Stadium Super Series, which was really ridiculous of him, in my opinion, because he could have probably gotten another job in the Truck Series, but he's making his return in the Truck Series. Could Justin Lofton contend for this win?
You know, that's an interesting question. You know, NTS Motorsports hasn't really been all there since they came in and came to the Truck Series, but, you know, I it's going to be interesting how well, you know, he's going to do, and I won't be surprised if, you know, he's up there, you know, in the top five through the race. But, you know, I think Justin Lofton, you know, is another one of those drivers who really didn't get the break that they were looking for, and they need a good ride, but there's just not enough of those out there. So, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting following that team this weekend, and you know, as you said, Boston, Dan, I think that's really going to help them. And, you know, it's an interesting combo. But, I think he's going to be decent this weekend. I won't be surprised if he's running top 5, top 10 throughout the weekend.
Yeah, I just think that it's going to be very interesting to see Justin Lofton come back to the Truck Series after seemingly having some struggles, but not a lot over the years. He did lead the points at one point, and I think it's time for him to show people, hey, I want to race full-time, or I don't want to race at all. And the same thing is going to have to happen with Max Gresham, really. He's returning this weekend in the Truck Series. He's going to be making a handful of sports for GMS Racing, formerly known as Gallagher Motorsports. And he raced full-time last year for Eddie Sharp's team, but was not impressive at all. He had four top 10 finishes, including a top 5 at Charlotte, actually. So his chances going into this weekend's race are really good, but at the same time, you have to remember, the kid has struggled in the past in the Truck Series, and it makes you wonder, is he ready? Did he rush up through the ranks too fast after winning that K&M Pro Series East Championship in 2011 with Gibbs?
Probably so. And, he's another one of those kind of race tuggers that we've been talking about all night here tonight. But, he certainly needs a great ride. But I think for him, what he needs or what, I think he probably should do is probably, drop back down ARCA Racing Series for another year or two and then try and make that move back up. He just needs more experience. And I think once he gets that more experience, I think he'll definitely be an interesting driver to follow.
Yeah, you also have Ron Hornaday Jr. in the 30 truck this weekend. It appears he's going to be racing full-time this season, but it's not official yet. Does Ron Hornaday Jr. still have it in him to contend for a title, Brett?
Yeah, I think so. Ron Hornaday Jr. is one of the drivers who has always been one of our favorites to win a championship. So, he's definitely going to be up there. He's one of the top drivers in NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, and I believe he's one of the only few drivers who has ran in the series since day one. So, hopefully some will come for him and he's able to stay in the series. And, it's kind of unfortunate, I look at Ron Hornaday. I also look at, Tom Bodine, who really, deserves a ride over in the series. And, I think, all these teams are wanting younger drivers, and unfortunately, I don't think we'll see them around very much longer in the truck.
Yeah, it's sad to say that the Truck Series is getting younger, and they're sort of forcing these guys out now. Tom Bodine hasn't raced at all this year, barely raced last year. He got a couple of opportunities, and when I was at Pocono last year watching the race in the stands, Tom Bodine, you could tell just by watching him pass by on the racetrack, he was exceptionally fast. He was able to contend for a win late in the race, and I don't care how marketable of a driver you are and you're a young guy, what's going to get you sponsorship is winning races. Unfortunately, Tom Bodine didn't have that even with a couple championship runs. And that just shows you that the sport is changing, unfortunately, in a way. It's unfortunate, at least. But for the younger guys, it's a good thing because they're able to showcase their stuff and pitch their marketability. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see that soon if Darrell Wallace Jr. Darrell Wallace Jr. doesn't have sponsorship. That's why he's not in the Nationwide Series. He's still racing for Kyle Busch Motorsports in Truck Series. I think you're going to see him advance his skills next year as well.
Yeah, I agree with that totally.
Yeah, and then you have another guy out there, Joey Coulter. Joey Coulter raced for RCR a few years, won a race at Pocono, then he moved to Kyle Busch Motorsports, didn't have the success he thought he would. But so far, to start off the year with this small GMS racing team, he has been pretty darn good in that little team. Do you think he's going to be a factor going through the season?
And I think so, you know. You know, Joey Coulter did, you know, he did okay with Kyle Busch Motorsports, but didn't really show, you know, his full potential. But, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting how he's going to be with this small team, and I think he'll do just fine.
We should have Ryan O'Hara joining us momentarily to talk about Kurt Busch in the IndyCar series. But until then, let's discuss it, Brett. Could Kurt Busch pull off the unthinkable, winning the IndyCar series, Indianapolis 500, and the Coca-Cola 600 in the same day?
You know, that's, you know, he's going to have a shot to win the Indianapolis 500. To do both of them, that's going to be interesting. You know, Kurt's been fast here recently. You know, I've been watching the practice sessions for IndyCar, and unfortunately, you know, I won't be able to watch much this weekend of IndyCar due to, you know, the events at Charlotte. But yeah, I mean, he's been really quick. He's definitely going to be one of the favorites to win the event. And, you know, Kurt, you know, that team does have a win this year. But, you know, they've been really inconsistent over a NASCAR series. So, you know, if he can get a win over there, you know, I don't know about the Charlotte. But, you know, he's definitely going to have a chance over in the Indianapolis 500 and both races as well.
I mean, he has been pretty fast this week in the IndyCar series. He's running top 10 lap times. He's even fastest at one point today. And it goes to show you, this hard work that Kurt Busch is doing lately is starting to truly pay off. And I think you're going to see more and more of that as time goes on, that Kurt Busch is going to be more competitive as he gets more laps in the IndyCar series. Look at today, for example. He was 15th, which it's not the greatest, but it's pretty good, considering he's never been in an IndyCar before this week, really. He did run it last year, but he was running around 212 miles an hour, which everyone knows. He would get laps within, like, 20 laps in the Indianapolis 500. But today, it was his quickest time. He was 224.739 miles an hour. He is running extremely high amount of laps. What more can this guy do to prove to people, hey, I'm here to win the race?
Well, I mean, you know, we look at, you know, in the past Indianapolis 500, and we've seen a lot of upsets. So, you know, I'm not counting them out. You know, I really am not. He's going to be a threat on Sunday, May 25th, when that green flag drops for the 500. I mean, he has a legitimate shot at it.
Yeah, but the question remains, could he still contend for the win in the Coke 600? And more importantly, say hypothetically, in the most hypothetical situation possible, the Indianapolis 500 starts raining, it gets delayed, it gets going, and Kurt Busch wins. What in the world do you think will happen then? How is he going to be able to make it back to Charlotte in time to race the Coke 600?
You know, actually, I read the Stuart Haas press release yesterday, and they got this thing down to a math. You know, they got down to a science problem, I guess you could say. I mean, you know, they're hoping that the Indianapolis 500 gets over right at 3:30, and then have 2.5 hours, make it Charlotte for a start of 600. But if he wins it, I don't know. You know, if he wins it, I mean, he'll just drive right to victory lane and get done with Victory Celebration and get to a media center for 5 or 6 questions or something like that, and then leave for Charlotte, or I guess we could just turn it into a teleconference for the post race, and then he flies back, you know, does the teleconference with media or something. You know, I don't know. You know, it's definitely going to be interesting if he heads one of how that will work.
Yeah, it definitely will be interesting to watch. And I think that if Parker Kligerman, for some reason, he gets to start that race and he runs up front, he's going to have a job sooner or later in the top ride, either in the Nationwide Series, the Truck Series, or the Cup Series. And that brings me to my next point. What happens if Parker Kligerman does run well in this race? Is he going to get a ride?
Oh, I think so, absolutely.
But what team do you think would be willing to hire him at this point in the season, the Truck Series or the Nationwide Series?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. You know, I have no idea because, you know, that's a difficult one to answer. But, you know, I'm sure that he'll find something out there. You know, there's some good racing teams that are looking for good drivers, and I'm sure he'll find someone. But, you know, that's an interesting question.
All right, I think we're just about out of time. Unfortunately, Ryan O'Hara cannot join us, apparently. And any last words, Brett?
Well, I just want to say thanks for the awesome hosting tonight, and should be an interesting race weekend as we move forward. You can follow me on Twitter, @NASCAR_Brett, on Facebook, and Brett Mayhem, and I don't really have anything else to say, but it was a good show.
All right, Brett, have a good evening. Thank you once again. It was a great night. You guys can follow Brett and NASCAR Brett on Twitter. I'm @JosephNASCAR, and we hope you all have a great evening. I'm off to study for my finals. We'll be back next Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Hope you have a great evening. Thank you again.